Pittsburgh Steelers fans, what's going on? This is Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, with you for another episode of the Steelers postgame show, where myself and Lance Williams break down how this week went for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and for only the second time in 2019, it's a happy note. The Steelers win 24-17 on the West Coast in LA against the Chargers, Devlin Hodges at quarterback. Yes, that all happened. And Lance, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on the knee-jerk reaction, so to speak, on the game that was?
Whew, you'll take it. Good win, bye week. A bunch of guys are hurt. You win, you get healthy, you end on a good note, come back refreshed. You play, I believe, Miami on the other half of the break, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully you can stack some wins together, maybe get to 3-4.
That's the hope, and that's something that was quietly being talked about by the Steelers fan base, is that, you know, you're like, okay, if they can beat the Chargers, which is no easy feat considering it's on the West Coast and Devlin Hodges was going to be the starter, but if they could beat the Chargers and then go into the bye week, and then, you know, you have the Dolphins on Monday Night Football at Heinz Field, you got to think that is that's a win. I think you're 3-4 and you're right back. You're injecting yourself back into the conversation. I'm not suggesting that they're going to be in the playoffs. I'm not suggesting they're going to win the division, but you're injecting yourself back into the conversation. But Lance, boy, can this bye week couldn't have come at a better time for the Steelers. They are a banged up group. They had several other players get hurt tonight. The biggest name was Stephon Tuitt with a pectoral injury. From experience and from everything that I've read, and I didn't see the play, That's not a good injury.
Yeah. You got to have pectoral strength. As a defensive lineman, I mean, you're pushing. I mean, you are activating your pecs every single snap. I mean, the only thing worse for, of course, ACL is the all-time worst injury for those type of guys who have to drive and plant. But a bicep tear is another bad injury for a defensive lineman. And I think that's what he got a couple years ago when he got hurt against the Browns.
Yep.
The first game, he had a bicep injury. Did he have a ruptured bicep? That's what my memory is saying.
Yeah, he tore the tendon, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully, and you could see the difference in the pass rush once he went out.
Right, yeah, absolutely. He was playing, in my opinion, at an all-pro level.
He's playing the best he's played in his career, for sure.
But obviously Mike Tomlin didn't give too much information after the game, saying that he will be further evaluated. And then they'll obviously maybe, I'm pretty sure Mike Tomlin does not have a press conference this week. So we won't hear from Tomlin until leading up to the Dolphins game on Monday Night Football. But most of the time, if it's a season-ending injury, a move will be made. He'll be put on injured reserve, in which case we would know about it that way. So let's talk about, though, in my opinion, the elephant in the room, okay? A lot of Steeler fans were just absolutely super pumped, stoked, excited, but however you want to say it, to see Devlin Hodges play quarterback, finally get his chance to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers. My question is, Lance, now that you've seen four quarters of Hodges in action, if everyone is deemed healthy in week 8, who's your starting quarterback?
You know what I'm getting ready to say.
Can we
get Mason Rudolph back quickly, please?
Wow, I'm surprised you said that.
It's a nice story, right? He did what he needed to do. He executed the game plan. I thought the turnover wasn't so much on him. I thought the receiver didn't play physical and fight to the football.
Still a bad throw.
Allowed the corner to run through his back. The throw was on the money. You got to be more physical. If somebody runs through your back and intercepts a pass, you've got to come back to the football. Be it as it may, he's a backup.
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph is a potential starter in the league. So what you do is you get this win. I don't like to use the term you steal one, because you earn every victory that you get in the National Football League, as well as you earn every loss. You get one, you get healthy, he gets out of the protocol. And what fans have to realize, he still has to clear the concussion protocol. He's still in the protocol, so he still has to be cleared. And that's something I think, as Steeler fans, that's something to watch for next week. But presumably, given you have a whole nother week to potentially clear, almost 2 weeks to clear the concussion protocol, presumably he will clear and he will be the starter going into the Miami game.
Yeah, and trust me, I doubt Mason Rudolph's going to be going far concerning the fact that he's still in the protocol. He's going to want to be cleared as soon as possible so that when the team will have a couple practices this week, I want to say they normally practice maybe when Tuesday and Wednesday or something like that, and then they give them the rest of the weekend off, and then they get back to work the following week. But, you know, Lance, the funny thing is that I run the Behind the Steel Curtain Twitter feed during games. And so right after the game, I posted this after this game, who should the Steelers starting quarterback in week 8 be versus Miami? And obviously Rudolph and Hodges were the only options. And so far, this is only 28 minutes ago, there's been almost 1,500 votes and 81% say that it should be Mason Rudolph to Devlin Hodges in 19. So the fans, at least on social media, at least on Twitter, are agreeing with you. And I agree too. Mason Rudolph is just a more polished quarterback at this stage of their careers. Devlin Hodges is a good quarter, is a good backup, as you mentioned. But at the same time, I think that Rudolph, I still want to see what he can do when they don't handcuff him. I feel like the play, I'll give you the perfect example from tonight's game, Lance, and we talked about this via text message. That was the very first play from scrimmage that the Steelers ran. It was a nice double move by Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes.
If he leads him, it's a touchdown, period. Underthrows him, incomplete pass, bad throw.
Yes, I that's a good point you made there. You want Mason Rudolph to get that opportunity, because I think if he has that opportunity in the game, it's 7 points out the bat. And that's the difference between the two. There are some things that I think that Hodges does well. There was a throw he made, I think it might have been on a third down, where it was a great anticipatory throw, and he hit the guy in stride. Great throw, great conversion. I think in between the numbers and in breaking routes and some out breaking stuff, I don't think he has the arm strength to throw outside the numbers or throw deep posts. But there's some stuff in between the routes, in between the numbers, I should say, that he can throw with anticipation that he does well. But overall, I mean, Mason Rudolph is the better player.
Yeah, and again, this is not a cut on, you know, Hodges. I thought he played well enough to win. They didn't win because of him, but at the same time, he didn't lose the game. I thought that the game plan for this game was really, really smart, and the offensive line finally showed up, in my opinion.
In the
run game, they started to move people around. You started to see them actually pulling. I'm still disappointed when it goes bigs on, you know, short yardage, bigs on bigs. They're not getting any push in that situation.
No, not at all.
Other than that, I thought that you started to see them kind of get their footing, and the hope is that that can continue. So for me, I thought that the offensive line played well. I thought James Conner ran the ball hard. Lance, I'd like to get your opinion on just the offense and the Steelers' offense in week 6. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter.
You know, looking at the game book and looking at some of the numbers, I thought it was, like you said, it was a marked improvement in terms of running the football. You know, Benny Snell football, Mr. No Jets.
He didn't play bad, man. He didn't play bad.
He did not play bad, but I think this is the first time this year that the Steelers, and Dave can check on the Stat Geek show coming up Tuesday. That might be something great for Dave to check. You know, I'm Dave's quasi-producer because I'm always texting Dave stats and stuff to possibly look at. I think Benny Snell is the first Steeler back to average over 4 yards a carry in a game. And so for that, if I'm correct, you know, that is an improvement. So, you know, so I thought it was just an efficient day. Nothing explosive, but just very efficient. James Conner played really well. You know, there was the one interception. I thought it was just a solid, like you said, a very solid, smart game plan. We're able to get turnovers, get on top of the team, get out to a big lead, and just kind of coasted home. So, it would have been interesting to see what they would have been required to do had he had to make some more plays via the passing game. But it worked. They got a victory. You can't complain about that.
No, I mean, on a night where even Dante Moncrief catches a pass, I mean, what else are you?
Difficult catch.
I know. It's crazy. I thought he was going to see the field more, but clearly they wanted to run a lot of two tights and they wanted to run the football, and they did that. And they executed the game plan, like you said. Now let's go to the defensive side of the ball. There were some really good, I thought, some players that played really, really well. But at the same time, there were some issues still, in my opinion, of the defense. So, Lance, I'll let you go first. You're a defensive guy. What were some of the things?
You go first because I want to hear what your issues were. I thought it was – there's some busts. I mean, that's what I have the biggest issues. There's some weird communication stuff, but I want to hear what you say.
Well, Artie Burns is Artie Burns. Like, I expected Artie Burns to get beat, and he did. And so you didn't hear me getting angry because, like, well, that's Artie Burns. Like, Artie Burns did not make a drastic step – of improvement from 2018 to 2019. My issue was tackling. You can talk about coverage bust, but I mean, when you look at it, you know, Steven Nelson wasn't in there. Joe Hayden leaves with a groin. Mike Hilton, according to Cavalli, was cramping up on the field because of the heat. They're just not used to that, I guess. Dehydration's kicking in. Devin Bush is a rookie. Minkah Fitzpatrick's still new. Cam Kelly's a rookie. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces in this defense. So when you talk about coverage busts, like, I feel like as long as they're being minimized, then that's okay. You're moving in the right direction. The tackling is tackling. And whether you're a Pop Warner player, you're a college player, you're a National Football League player, tackle better. And especially in the second half, you saw Devin Bush miss a couple tackles. Outside of that, I thought Devin Bush played freaking amazing. Devin Bush missed some tackles. Cam Kelly missed some tackles. I saw Cameron Sutton get abused one time on the sideline by Williams. It was really just the tackling. They put good, consistent pressure on Phillip Rivers. They only got to him once, I believe. Is that correct, Lance?
Let me see the game.
Only one official sack.
Let's see. Yes, they only had one sack. It felt like it was three or four.
Well, they had a lot. Rivers is known for that, just like throwing, getting it off of that last second. He got hit a lot in this game. They were around him a lot. And this is a perfect example, in my opinion. We talk about this all the time, Lance, about how sometimes quarterback hits, quarterback hurries are almost better than sacks. Not that a sack is a sack, I get it. But sometimes you're just around the quarterback, it can have a similar effect. The Steelers do take the football away three times tonight. Am I right? They had the fumble recovery for a touchdown by Devin Bush.
Yeah. Yes, and two TDs.
And Cam Sutton's and who else had interception? Is there another pick?
Devin Bush. Devin Bush had an interception as well. And
that's
a fumble
recovery. The tipped interception. You're right. Okay, so Lance, I just talked a little bit about the defense. Go ahead.
No, his stat line, going to Devin Bush, he had four tackles, solo, three assisted, seven combined, so a total of seven tackles. He had an interception. He had a pass defense, and he had a fumble recovery. I think if I'm giving out a game ball, I'm going to give Devin Bush a game ball. I'm also going to give a game ball out to Cam Sutton. Cam Sutton was playing sticky coverage. I mean, he led the team with three pass defensed, and he played some excellent coverage in the red zone, and he sealed the game with the turnover. One thing we're seeing with this team, they're getting constant pressure, and that pressure is leading into them having an ability to turn the football over. They're hitting the quarterback, they're sacking the quarterback, and they're getting turnovers as a result of it, and they are getting interceptions. And riddle me this, Jeff. Have they surpassed their turnover total from last year?
Not yet.
They're very close.
I think they're three away. I think they had 18 total last year. They have 15 now.
And that's after, what, six games?
Yeah, they're 2-4. You have to think about, too, think about the missed opportunities. Think about Joe Hayden's dropped interception. Was it last week or the week prior? Think about tonight. Minkah Fitzpatrick has one that he could have caught. Anthony Ciccolo had one he could have caught.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So I'm sorry. Dave Schofield's chiming in and said we had 15 last year. I thought it was 18. So if they did have 15, they've already tied that mark after six games.
I mean, we cut on, and I'm pretty bad, and I'll say this: I'm pretty bad in killing the defensive coordinator. But I mean, this defense is getting pressure and it's getting turnovers, so he's doing something right because it's starting to. We're starting to see that the defense is becoming a strength. They are very deep and versatile on the back end. And that front seven hunts, and Dud Dupree is playing really solid football, surprisingly, right now. I mean, hey. Dud Dupree is playing some ball.
He's playing for that what? He's playing for that
moolah.
Exactly. He's playing for that cash.
That cash. That's why. Cash rules everything around me. Cream.
Now, I want to ask you a question about the defense, Lance. So, really, I think most people would agree that it's been at least the last two games, maybe if you stretch it back another game, like the second half, but really the last two games, I think the defense has been dominant. And they've had spells where it's been rough, but they've been dominant. How much do you attribute that to Vince Williams coming back onto this team?
It's what I will say is they're better. They're a better run team. They're a better run defensive team with Vince. The thing about it is, and it was funny, like I was saying the same thing in the living room as I was watching, and Collinsworth was saying the same thing at the same time. He was saying, look, you know, what Vince is going to bring is he's a better blitzer. He's going to bring physicality in terms of stopping the run. The question is, what does it look like on the back end with him in coverage? Now, the game book will be coming out, but I'm really interested to see Hunter Henry in terms of who he was beating in coverage. Because what you saw was that guy was targeted 9 times, 8 receptions, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. So in some respects, if you can hide Vince Williams and you can hide him as a coverage player, he's going to thump. I mean, he's going to thump and he's going to get after the quarterback. Because I think Vince, if I'm not mistaken, had maybe 5 to 6 sacks last year. So he's going to thump, and he's going to get after the quarterback, and he's going to stabilize you and be consistent in both areas. However, you know, can you hide him in coverage? So I don't know if I want to credit him. I will say this. I think Barron has been a disappointment thus far. I think Barron, for the amount of snaps that he's played, has not provided the level of coverage that you would like. He's getting beat consistently in coverage. And so if he's not going to give you the coverage play, you know, he can't play because he's not a better at stopping a run like Vince. So it's going to be interesting. So, you know, hopefully Barron gets better, but Vince is a nice plug-in filler, stopgap, so to speak.
Well, you know me, I'm all about the emotion of the game, and Vince Williams is their emotional leader. And TJ Watt is up there, but Vince Williams is that guy for the defense, and he gets them going. Notice, though, with Mark Barron gone, because he was have obviously a hamstring injury. So you had Vince, you had Devin Bush, you did have Ulysses Gilbert, but you also had Tyler Matakevich and you're on your roster. When Devin Bush left the game at the end of the half, first half, with an ankle injury, he did return, by the way. They didn't put Matakevich in. They went to their Cam Kelly as a third safety and rolled with 3 safeties instead of putting in an extra inside linebacker. So they have options. I think that, you know, if I'm the Steelers and I'm Keith Butler, I'm looking at ways to get Vince Williams on, but like you said, disguise him a little bit more. And in that Baltimore game, they played with 3 inside linebackers. So it'll be interesting to see what they do if they make any changes. I'm not going to hold my breath over the bye week. But they've got some questions for sure on both sides of the ball in terms of what they want to do with personnel moving forward. I have to say this because I give the guy enough crap that I need to praise him when he does well.
Uh-oh. Drum roll. I know who you're getting ready to talk about.
Do you know what I'm going
to
say?
I know who you're getting ready to talk about.
Let me preface this with Dave Schofield, Lance, and I have a group text that we chime in and throughout the games and throughout the weeks and stuff like that. And it was the 4th and 1. The Steelers had just recovered the onside kick. Obviously, Benny Snell couldn't get the yards necessary for a first down. And Lance says, "What are you all doing here?" And we all said, "Punt, punt, punt," like 3 in a row, like punt, punt, punt. We all said we should punt.
Absolutely.
And I'm just thinking to myself, you just can't punt it into the end zone. Punt it to the 10 and have him get it at the 10, but you can't give him the ball on the 20. And so what does Jordan Berry do? Pins him on the 1 yard line.
And I thought of you.
Yeah. I got to give props to Jordan Berry. He did it. That was a phenomenal kick. Johnny Holton on the coverage, obviously, he did his part. But when you needed a play on special teams, he delivered.
And the beauty of that, Jeff, is winning takes contributions in all phases. You know, like you said, right? You punt that in the end zone, right? They get the ball out on a 20. You're giving them 20 free yards. Now they only have to obviously go 80 to score a touchdown. It's just the small things. No timeouts, 99 yards. I mean, you can't run the football at that point from the one. You're playing coverage all the way. You've pinned them. You made it extremely difficult. You know, they give those percentages. ESPN runs those win percentages in games. I bet the win percentage after the punt was 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 there personally saying something to you, Jeff? Because you know Bud listens to what you say.
Bud the Dud, man.
Bud hears what you say.
I bet.
You know,
he probably does. He's actually gone after one of our writers on Twitter before.
Exactly. And I know the writer said, Jeff told me to say it.
Yeah, I bet he did. Bud told the writer to come on down to the Southside facility and see what's up.
I'm sure the writer had
a sandwich
and some coffee.
You're a professional football player. What are you challenging some blogger for? Anyways, I digress. So kudos to Barry. And I also want to give props, and I think a lot of fans should. They won't, but they should. You got to give props to Mike Tomlin, in my opinion. He is a coach that gets a lot of heat, rightfully so in certain situations. But he took his team to the West Coast where everyone knows how bad they are in that time zone and over there in California. And they win, I think it was just the way that they won. Third string quarterback, really dominated on defense, just tremendous play. The team didn't look like there was any quit in them after going 1-4. And now all of a sudden you have a little bit of momentum heading into the bye week. Lance, anything you want to say about Tomlin in terms of his coaching job?
I mean, this is an awesome victory for him. That doesn't mean that I don't, you know, if they can trade him in the offseason and get 2 ones and get 2 twos, I wouldn't want to do that. But yes, this was a great victory. This is what a good coach does. He keeps his team together and they rally and they go out and execute and they perform. And this is the type of effort that you want from professionals and from a staff that is doing their job. But Jeff, You always are awesome when it comes to the Steelers swag. Well, let me see that shirt. That.
Now, okay, you're wearing the shirt. Now, for those that are listening in audio platform, I was talking to my wife, and I get out of the shower before the game, and it's a late night for me. And so I said, I don't know what to do because I've been wearing jerseys. I said, I'm not wearing a jersey. Ben's not playing. I'm not wearing a jersey. And so I pulled this out. This is a rare shirt here. This is an NFL playoff shirt from 2005 when the Steelers were, no six seed has ever run the table and won the Super Bowl. They put out this shirt and I bought it, Believers with 2 E's. And I only wear this typically in the playoffs, but I felt that they needed it tonight and they delivered.
So, wow. Now I got to see if I can find my sixth seed shirt when they want it, but I may not be able to fit it. So we shall see if I find it, if I can melt back into it.
Yeah. And I was telling my wife, like, I don't know. I might have to, I don't know if they start winning or going on a winning streak, I'm going to grow, the beard to keep the beard going. She goes, but you just shaved your face. It's like, I don't know. I don't, this is this team. Like, I don't have any way. I'm a super, super superstitious guy. And there's nothing I can kind of go with. So we went with no jersey today and they won. So we'll go with New Jersey next week, unless I get a Rudolph jersey between now and then. 2 weeks.
No. I'm saying Jordan Berry.
I am not buying a Jordan Berry jersey.
Jordan Berry. Jordan
you would Berry, have to maybe. Pay me. You would have to pay me to wear a Jordan Berry.
Jordan Berry.
So the Steelers win, and let's look at some numbers here, Lance. We typically do this. We go into the game book, we dive in, look at some stats, and talk about individual players and their performances, people that we haven't really talked about so much today. Lo and behold, Benny Snell Football, that's right, the guy that talks about himself in third person more than anyone else I've ever heard. Benny Snell had 17 attempts for 75 yards with a long of 20. And what was your thought on Benny No Jets, as you call him?
Hey, man, he executed. I mean, he went there and ran the ball physically tough in between the tackles, great ball security. He played a fantastic game. You know, when his number was called, he was able to go in and spell James Conner. And, in fact, I thought had they had him run the football in the red zone, I thought they would have scored a touchdown instead of settling for a field goal on those series of downs. Because the one thing he does do, I mean, he does run physically in between the tackles. His lateral agility is lacking. He's a one cut guy.
That's putting it mildly.
He's not going to make a cut and hit it backside.
No.
I mean, he's a foot in his ground, go straight. But I thought they would have scored a touchdown if he played. But, I mean, he went out there and played effective football. I mean, he's the only Steeler running back, I believe, this season to average over 4 yards to carry in a game. So, kudos to Benny Snell Football. S-N-E-L-L, not S-N-A-I-L.
Well, here's a question about Benny No Jets, and that is, do you think he's a good complement to James Conner? And I'm not saying that Jalen Samuels isn't going to be the number two when he returns, but he's going to be out for at least a month. So do you think that Benny Snell, in normal circumstances, is a good kind of 1-2 punch?
No. I think you need a change of pace. I think you need a change of pace back there. Somebody that can catch the ball out the backfield better and somebody that runs in a different way, you know, sort of just like having, you know, in a baseball game, if you got a guy throwing 102 miles an hour, it's nice to bring in a guy that can move the ball around, hit both sides of the plate and change speeds. It's just that little change of space, change of pace, I should say, and moving it around. You know, it's just more difficult. It's more versatility. I think you have a more versatile complement of backs if you have a guy like Samuels and Conner. I mean, you don't want two bangers.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, I think you're limited in what you can do.
That's a good point. So Benny Snell, I thought he did well. You know, he hit the holes when they presented themselves, got some tough yards for first downs. James Conner finishes with 16 for 41 on the ground. He did have a rushing touchdown, but I thought his impact was in the air. He was targeted 7 times, 7 receptions, 78 yards, 1 touchdown. I believe it's the second straight game that he has gone over 100 yards cumulative, meaning passing and rushing. What were your thoughts on Conner? I thought he really carried this offense and this team early on.
So this is interesting. I know that Dave is a stat guy, but as I put his stats in here from this game, in the last two games against the Ravens and against the Chargers, in the last three games, because he was not targeted in the Ravens game out of the backfield, which was weird, but from the Bengals, Ravens, and Chargers game, he's been targeted in those three games 15 times, and he's had 15 receptions. So, you know, he's proving to be an asset in the passing game. I think with James Conner, he's the type of guy, he just needs carries. He needs touches. He sort of has to warm to it. You know, he's kind of like a type of guy that goes to the body, a boxer that goes to the body and then stops a guy late in the eighth and ninth because he's put that investment in the body and he wears down an opponent. He's that type of guy. You have to give him touches for him to get impact. And I thought he impacted this football game. The interesting thing is with his running style, he's not durable enough. Like, he's not durable enough. And that's the one knock I would say from him is ball security and durability. For the way he plays, it just doesn't fit his level of durability. But for this game, I thought he was effective. I thought he ran with purpose. And I thought he was really good out of the backfield catching the ball.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you there. And he has a reckless running style, and that can tend itself to getting dinged up. And I do believe, if I am correct in thinking, let me check this out. He was listed by Mike Tomlin after the game with a quad injury. So there were comments made during the broadcast by, I think, Chris Collinsworth that said, doesn't look like Connor's coming back in. And it was because of a quad injury. I probably pinned down the play where he got hurt. It was just a really hard run. He got his legs taken out from underneath him, and that's probably when he hurt his quad. So the bye's coming at a great time, like I said. All right, let's go down the line here.
Before we get off of Connor, you had mentioned about him getting a total of over 100 yards in the last two games. It's the last in two of the last three games.
Okay.
In the Bengals game, he totaled 125 yards because he had the 8 receptions. Because he didn't get any targets in the Ravens game, he only had 55 total yards from scrimmage. But then in this game, he had 119. I think what we're seeing is they have to get him active in the passing game. That's where you're going to get some value. You know, the only unfortunate thing that you see with Connor is he's only averaging 3.2 yards per carry this year. And as you were stating earlier in the show, when it's time to move guys, the big guys up front aren't doing that consistently. And one thing that stands out to me, they're still going to have to get this running game fixed. During the bye week, they're going to have to fix that. They're going to have to find a menu or a complement of plays that this group can run effectively.
I agree 100%. So Devlin Hodges, let's talk about him, Duck, as everyone calls him, 15 for 20, 132, did have a touchdown on that swing pass to Connor, one interception for an 87.9 rating. Thoughts on Duck's debut? He did win the game, so kudos to him. But anything that has not been said that you would like to add?
He was composed. I mean, he was really composed. It did not look like the moment was too big. He did not look like he was rattled out there. But one thing I want to do say, though, and Dave hit us up with a text, one thing that jumps out, you know, in the game book, and thanks to Dave Schofield for pointing this out, the Steelers had 10 pass defensed. I can't recall that happening, you know, and Dave would have to find this out or look this up. 10 pass defensed? I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I can't remember seeing that in a game book like ever. You know, I'm sure I'm wrong, but man. I mean, when's the last time, even with the little bowl teams, you know, playing kind of the soft coverage behind the zone blitz, you didn't get a lot of pass defense because they wanted to tackle the catch, get the quarterback to the ground via sacks and pressure. 10 pass defense is a lot, and it just shows you where this secondary is going. And I think the secondary can even improve and get better.
And that's why on our preview show, I was talking about this team secondary, and we said, you know, is this one of the better secondaries of the Mike Tomlin era? Now, granted, there was the Super Bowl winning team of Deshae Townsend, Ike Taylor, Troy, and Ryan Clark. And I'm not suggesting that they're as good as those guys. But other than that, I mean, we've had to live through Cortez Allen, Antoine Blake. I could continue to rattle off Cody Sensabaugh.
Well, and all those draft picks that didn't work out.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I did that show.
Yeah.
That, you know, yeah, I said it. Mike Tomlin can't draft DBs.
And so for me, like, yeah, that Troy Polamalu defense was phenomenal. It's been since then that they've had a good secondary, and they have one now. We do have a super chat here. Sean asked $2 in the tip jar. We appreciate that, Sean. He said, anyone else think this game looked like a Cowher game? What are your thoughts on that there, Lance?
Yeah, I mean, it does. It did look like a Cowher game. And here I'll point it out is because what was the famous stat they used to put on the TV all the time with Bill Cowher? When the Steelers have a 10-point lead going into the second half, they're 1,001. I remember that stat they used to always put up with Cowher teams, and it looked like that. They got out to a lead, they held on, and they won the football game. And if you see me smiling on YouTube like this, that's because of Bill Davis. Bill said, I need to smile in the live chat. So I'm just going to smile after I talk for the rest of the show.
Stop doing that. You're creeping me out. I feel like you're like seeing something that I'm not. I'm like, am I missing something in the live chat? Like, is someone saying something funny and I'm not seeing it?
All right. My last one.
There you go. Someone said something here in the live chat I wanted to bring up. I'll find it. Let's go on. So I thought that let's go to the defensive side, because really Well, one more thing I want to talk about offense. It just jogged my memory. Juju Smith-Schuster finishes the day with 4 targets, 1 reception, 7 yards. I know this was on a passing game, Lance, but at the same time, that's troubling a little bit to me. Don't you agree?
I think it's troubling for Juju's pocketbook.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you got a backup in, but man, I mean, he only threw the ball 20 times, but geez, those aren't good stats. And I know Juju wanted the ball out, being down in Carson being really close down 405, South 405 down by Long Beach. You know, Juju going to one of the perennial powerhouses of Southern California, Long Beach Poly, you know, the home of Ronnie Lott, Willie McGinnis, and a whole bunch of other pros that have gone to Long Beach Poly. He wanted to show out, and I'm sure Juju had like 200 family members in the crowd. You know, but one thing about Juju that's good is Juju is not going to do like Mr. Third and Fifth and sulk and have a bad attitude after getting a win and say, I need to get targets. So, but yes, they've got to figure out how to effectively get the ball to Juju. But, you know, it doesn't help when you don't have other guys that don't scare you. So you can load up coverage to Juju and take Juju out of the game.
Yeah. And a lot of people you bring up the fans and his family. There were a lot of Steeler fans in that crowd.
Oh my goodness.
That was probably 80% Steeler fans, 20% Charger fans. Like, it was incredible.
You know what the surprising thing is? Because I tried to go to a Steeler Charger game years ago, a couple of years ago. It might have been a Le'Veon Bell game when Mr. Butt Naked and Rob, the quarterback, or the direct handoff when they won the game. And I believe to get a Steeler ticket for that particular ball game, you had to buy a preseason ticket. And so they made you buy a preseason ticket to buy the Steeler ticket. I was like, man, forget that. I'm not doing that. And I got to go to San Diego. You're going to make me buy 2 tickets? No way. No way. But briefly about the stadium, I think I told you, my mom lives right across the street from the stadium, and it was neat seeing that overhead shot of the fabulous Forum on the left, the stadium. And my mom literally lives across the street. Like, you could hit the little thing that makes the man show up and then you walk across the street.
Yep.
That close. But yes, it was 80% Steeler fans, which, you know, you've been in that. Have you been in that environment where you've been on a road game and it's been all Steelers, or do you primarily gone to Heinz to watch the games?
The only road venue I've been to was a preseason game at FedEx Field when they played the Redskins. And it was a lot of Steeler fans there too. So,
yeah, I've had the experience, you know, being on the West Coast and going to all the games in the West Coast. Steeler fans take over stadiums. I mean, that is true. That is 1,000% fact. And even when teams try to not sell tickets to Steeler fans or come up with these ways to not do it, Steeler fans just take over because we're just absolutely nuts. So we'll pay any price for any ticket anywhere. And so fans try to make their season tickets back to pay for next year's season tickets by selling them to Steeler fans.
It was definitely interesting. And I got to say kudos to the Chargers, whoever was doing the video board during the game. I'm sure if you were on Twitter, you saw this. They blacked out the board, started playing the introduction to Styx Renegade, and everyone's just going berserk because it's all the Steelers.
I didn't see that.
And then they cut it away to this. Brian Davis would know. I don't have that off the top of my head. They broke into this 80s like love song. Like they cut it off, but it's kind of like toying with the Steeler fans over there. I was like, man.
Because, you know, I heard when I was watching the game, you know, I heard Steelers first down. I mean, I heard all of that. You can hear like all of that stuff in the back. I was like, wow. You know, and it's a band box in there. That's a small venue because it's a soccer venue, I think, for the LA Galaxy. And they took that over.
Yeah, it was the song "Never Gonna Give You Up." Never gonna let you down.
Never say goodbye and desert you.
That was that's where they played the introduction. They definitely had it planned. They played, but the thing you gotta understand is, like, if you're a Steeler fan there and you have any clue what Renegade is about from being at Heinz Field, and you see the board go black and you hear the "Oh Mama," and you hear that, you're going nuts no matter what. They could play whatever. They could play Madonna. They could play anything, and you're gonna go nuts. So before I forget here,
Rick Astley.
Yeah, there
Rick
you go. Astley, there you go.
Yes.
Grayson puts $1.99 in the tip tray. He says the buy comes at a good time, and he says with coaching a win, and coaching can be better. Yes, the coaching can be better, and my gosh, in my opinion, the buy comes at a great time.
They're banged up. They are absolutely banged up.
Yeah, and a lot. You think about things that aren't even being talked about right now, like Juju Smith-Schuster's toe that's been bothering him all season, and you get like Steven Nelson's groin, and you have Mason Rudolph still in the protocol, and they absolutely need this buy this week, big time.
He didn't hear the subtle pause. I always got to say pause. You know, when you say groin, I say pause. I wonder if somebody in live chat picks up the pause game, but it'll be interesting. So Dave chimed in. Dave wrote something. I was trying to figure out what Dave wrote in a live chat. I'm not sure.
Rick rolled. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that meant either. I don't know.
In the live chat, Orlander says, "You look sleepy, Jeff. LOL." And that's because I am tired. It's 12:23, and I've been up.
Was that a Jerry curl? That picture?
I don't know.
I hope that wasn't a Jerry curl. I was like, wow, that can't be a Jerry curl. I had to be locks. I can't really see. It's kind of dark. That had to be dreadlocks. I hope it wasn't a Jerry curl.
So let's talk about the defense here quickly. We haven't talked about them too much. Devin Bush led the team in tackles with 4 total, 3 assisted, 7 combined. He had 1 interception. He obviously had the fumble recovery, return for the touchdown. The guy, although he has some brain farts, and tonight it was tackling, the guy's always around the football, Lance. I don't know what it is. He's always around the football. What are your thoughts on Devin Bush and his progress?
Game ball. I mean, I think it's between the years in terms of where to be at the right time and coverage stuff. Because there was a bust. There was a couple busts I think he had. I have to look at him on film. But I think it's between the years. I think we can see the physical capabilities and the potential. And if there's a guy on the defensive side of the football, if I were giving out a couple of game balls, he would get one along with Cam Sutton.
Okay. I want to get your thoughts on Terrell Edmonds. Terrell Edmonds will make some nice plays, and then he'll make some plays that have me literally like, what is he doing? So, for instance, you have the play as a deep shot and wound up incomplete. In the middle of the pass, the ball's in the air, he turns around and starts backpedaling. What are you doing? And there was the pass breakup he had in the corner of the end zone where I felt that if he was playing the ball, he would have intercepted it and could have ran it back for a touchdown. Like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, like, it's weird. Like, I was watching the game with my dad, and I'm like, play the ball, dude. Take it 102 yards or whatever it was. Play the ball. He's a growing player. He's a second-year player. I mean, what I'm most impressed about is he's in there snap in, snap out. He is durable. He's always on the field. He's accountable. For the most part, he's in the right position. I think he's a growing and ascending player. I think one play that was absolutely hilarious is when Rivers threw the deep ball, and it almost got completed when the receiver was surrounded by 3 Steeler defenders. And I'm like, wow. These guys have never played outfield in my life. And there are things that when I always look at it, there are some things that to me across sports, make sense that, you need to play a couple of sports so you can deal with certain things like moving in space, so on and so forth. Wide receivers and secondary guys need to play outfield in baseball. They need to figure out how to track a ball that's moving in the air when they're running in space. And those guys cannot track the football. So I think he's growing. I think the combination of him and Fitzpatrick will be solid and will be a very good combination because they are both athletic, physical, and versatile.
I'll take your word for it. Sometimes he has me really scratching my head. So we have a couple live chats or super chats to get here. To hear. Snowman puts $2 in. He said, what's up with Pouncey's bad snaps? I noticed this before the third down play that ended up going between Hodges' legs. He had to go back, pick up the ball, and was able to throw it away. There were a lot of high snaps, really bad thoughts on Pouncey's play.
I'm wondering if I'll have to look at those when I look at the game, when I look at the fam on film. I'm wondering if they had somebody on his head.
Yeah,
and somebody, you know, somebody on his head. You know, it gets a little more difficult to snap it when somebody's on your head. A lot of times when you're playing center, nobody's lined up on you. So, you know, one thing I did notice, tell me if you noticed this, Jeff, you were asking about Duck. I thought the Steelers must have made an adjustment to his cadence early in the game. Because I thought San Diego was getting a bead on his cadence and his snap count because they were starting to get close. And I don't know if they made an adjustment or they just stopped or started running the ball more. But I thought they were really getting a bead on it, and the Steelers made a nice adjustment and really handled the pass rush of the Chargers because Bosa did not show up on the stat sheet. I didn't even know Bosa was playing. So they really handled Bosa really well. And they accounted for him, obviously, because they chipped him, and they definitely made sure they paid attention to what he was doing. But kudos to Filer and the game plan in terms of trying to not let Bosa wreck your game.
Yeah, his brother did more damage to get to the Steelers than he did.
Yeah, it's so, that bull rush. It's that bull rush.
Yeah. All right, so Tom puts $2 in the tip jar and says, Jeff, maybe you'll need a Duck jersey as well. I am not getting a Duck jersey. If tonight didn't solidify that, oh, here we go. People are doing the poor Jeff thing again in the live chat. So
Jeff's getting a Mason jersey, and Mason Jeff trusts.
There you go, and Mason, yeah. So it's here. $4.99 the tip jar. He says, trade Tomlin and Ben for all you can get. Tomlin's going package 7 with him for the mega haul. Go for broke on defense and retool the O. Here we go.
Let me run me this to that question, Jeff. Okay, we see what the compensation is for our coach. We've seen it out there with the 2 ones and the 2 twos. Now, I don't think anybody in their rats in their right mind would give you a bag of nickels for Ben at this point. I mean, the guy's old. He's got a bum arm. I don't think you give him a bag. I don't think you get a bag of nickels for him. But let's say, who's close that needs a quarterback that has some pieces in place that's close? I'm trying to think of a place. Let's say the Bears. Let's say the Bears, a team that's really close, championship defense, need a quarterback, a guy that can cut the wind, throw it out, you know, play in the elements, so on and so forth. If you bring in Ben, if a team like Chicago gave you like a first and a third coupled with the trade for Tomlin, so you get 3 firsts, 2 seconds, and a third, I make that deal. I mean, I'm speculating out of my mind here, obviously, but 3 ones, 2 twos, and a three, I'm gonna have to cut off the legs of that triumvirate of him with Butler and get rid of those guys.
Well, I mean, as of right now, that's tough to say because the quarterback situation the way it is. But yeah, I'd make that deal.
oh yeah, 3 ones, 2 twos, and a third.
Yeah,
I make that deal. Like,
yeah. And so I hate to say this, but the highlights for the Steeler game was going on as you were talking on ESPN, and I finally got to see it. You sent a text at the very end of the game when Cameron Sutton intercepted the pass, and Phillip Rivers got all testy with Mike Hilton. He actually grabbed the wrong guy. Cam Kelly's the one that peeled back and knocked Keenan Allen on his rear end.
Yeah, Keenan Allen got licked. I was like, whoa, he got knocked out.
Yeah, and so Phillip Rivers got Mike Hilton. I think he thought that Hilton hit him, and that's how that old melee went down. But so, yeah, I was wondering that because when you sent that text, I was like, man, I didn't see it. I just saw it. So
he got licked like, whoo, that's Cal football too. He got licked.
Here's a good point from Sean. He puts $2 in the tip jar. He says 55, referring to Devin Bush. 6 takeaways so far this year. Could be team MVP. he's always around the football. Like we said, can't beat that, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see if he can pick it up. And I want to see him play better all around. He's definitely always around the football. But I mean,
their best player on defense is TJ Watt. I mean, I don't think that's a question.
No, not at all.
I mean, TJ's the man. And TJ plays with incredible motor. TJ's the man on that defense.
He's also starting to diversify his pass rushing portfolio. He now has that inside move. So if you watch the film, he got a couple pressures tonight. He wasn't just, you know, with the bend around the arc. He was actually acting like he's going up the arc and spinning underneath.
It's late night. See, this is why the standard is the standard. It's late night. It's probably about midnight, 12:30. Jeff said diversify his pass rushing portfolio at 12:32. AM in the East Coast. Yes. That is impressive. Ameritrade, holla. Sign Jeff up. The good Reverend Dr. Jeff Hartman.
I'm glad enough to have one of those speeches this week. Because they won. Because they reverend. Won. Yeah, they
you
won.
Guys, if you didn't hear the show last week, you got to chime in for the good Reverend Jeff Hartman speech. He went full on Southern Baptist on y'all.
Not everybody, just a vast majority.
Yes.
So yeah. Okay. We could spend a lot of time on players that did their job. I thought we touched on the players that we were disappointed with. Lance, any final thoughts on the game itself?
I'm looking at Vodka Drinker. He said, if Tomlin gets traded, Rex Ryan. You know what guy I would want? If we're going to just move this forward, I got to look at the guy's name. It's the defensive coordinator for the Colts. I forget his name. Or the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, Salah. Yeah, either one of those guys. Like either one of those guys. But, you know, that's teasing names out there. But hey, this is a great win. And if they were to do something this year, this will be a win that they point to. You know, this is the type of glue win that gives your season life. It keeps you afloat. Because if you go 1-5, even with the Clowns losing, I mean, you're 1-5. You know, you're 3 games behind the Ravens with the loss to the Ravens, effectively putting you 4 games behind. Now, I'm not talking playoffs or any of that stuff. But this is a win that just keeps it moving along, man. You just, you know, as they say with the NCAAs, win in advance.
Absolutely. And so you look at this win keeps their season alive for me. It keeps everything relevant. Like you just mentioned, with the Browns losing, the Ravens have the Seahawks and the Patriots coming up, I believe. They've got some tough games ahead.
Clowns.
I'm sorry, yes. The Cleveland Clowns.
Faker Mayfield.
Oh, he was in prime shape today, man.
Yeah, till he hurt his hip. Matt Eberflus is the guy from Indianapolis. I like Matt Eberflus. And Robert Salah, I believe, is the coordinator for the 49ers. Because you know if the Steelers hire a new coach, what are they going to do? They're going to hire a defensive coach. You know that.
Probably. So, okay, with the bye week coming up, I want you all to know that we're still going to have content for you. Every day there's going to be content because we know that you expect it and we are going to deliver it. So tomorrow will still be the Steelers Hangover with Brian and Tony. Tuesday will be Dave with the Stat Geek. Wednesday we'll be back on the Standard as a Standard. Thursday will be the Steelers Preview. We'll talk about everything that's going on. Maybe there's a roster move made or something of that nature, but we'll talk about the team in depth, probably answer a lot of your questions on the Steelers Preview. And then Lance will be back on Yeah, I Said It. Saturday we'll do a burning question. It'll be my turn to tackle that, and so I'll be on the burning question with you all this weekend. And then Sunday, most of the time, Lance, in the past, we've gone on after the bye. You know, some of the AFC North teams play. We might talk about that. We'll see what happens. And then we'll be back to getting ready for the next week after that. So just so you know, we will be
Are we on Sunday, Jeff? Are we doing? There's no post game, obviously, next week.
There's no post game, but we'll see. We'll have to look at the schedule for the other AFC North teams, see when they play. Maybe we'll do something after those games or something. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see what moves are made with the Steelers, because they had to make those moves with Paxton Lynch bringing him up, Trey Edmonds. So they should be making some retroactive moves there. So with that said, we had over 400 people in the live chat today, which is awesome. If everyone could just go and hit the thumbs up button on this video, subscribe to the channel, would really be beneficial for us. And then also check us out on audio platforms, anywhere where you find your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. So just search Behind the Steel Curtain or Steelers and you'll find our podcast. But Lance, in the meantime, why don't you send us off?
Tune in, tell a friend, and subscribe.
Couldn't have said it better myself. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Steelers Postgame.